right, take your Bibles, please. Turn to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. We're going to read verses 24 through 29 together, if you'll get your Bibles. Matthew 23, 24 through 29. Now you know I got them confused. 23, 24 through 29. I really believe I'm going to get you out right at 7 o'clock tonight if you listen to me carefully. Matthew 23, verses 24 through 29, let's read responsively. "Ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye are like unto the whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous." And let's pray. Father, sure do need you tonight. Help me as I try to get a truth across to your people to help them. Lord, such a simple thought, a simple truth, but one that is life-changing. And I pray that you'd help us to listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is speaking here to a bunch of, to a crowd of people, actually. And let me just go ahead and say it. Jesus wasn't this little sissy, pussyfooting, wiggling kind of preacher. Jesus had a backbone. He didn't wiggle when he walked. He didn't talk softly all the time. And he wasn't what most people picture Jesus as. If you see a picture of Jesus on the cross and you see a little long-haired hippie-looking guy with a little trickle of blood out of his hand and his forehead, that wasn't Jesus. That's some 7th century, 8th century Sodomites version of it. Just so you know. Jesus was a tough man. You don't go down to the Fisherman's Wharf in Baltimore and wiggle when you walk and look like those pictures of Jesus and see if you attract fishermen to follow you. They might follow you, but they're going to beat you with a stick once they find you. Business people don't follow that kind of person. Successful people don't follow somebody like that. And Jesus had people that left their businesses to follow him. He was a man of integrity. Now, he was preaching here and kind of gets with it. Thank God we had a Savior that knew how to preach. He didn't wear a dress when he preached either. He's talking to a bunch of religious people, scribes, Pharisees. These were the, in our day, we would use the term denominationalists. These are the mainstream kind of religious people, and they were people who were successful in appearance. They appeared to be spiritual, and Jesus said, "You think you're spiritual because you clean the outside of the cup, but inside you're dirty." Yes. So you think you clean up the outside and it's all right. He said, "You're like a bunch of whited sepulchres." Whited sepulchres, that in the in modern day, that means you got a pretty tomb, but on the inside, it's still nothing but dead men's bones. That's what that term sepulchre means there. And Jesus starts into them how that they can look clean and spiritual on the outside, but inside, they're still filthy, they're still dark and full of death. Sounds like many people today. We clean up the outside, we polish the outside, we have an appearance of being a Christian, but inside, we're vile. We're sinful. Can I tell you something? Every human being here is sinful. Yes, not a one of us aren't. Recently, I read a story that illustrates this truth in an unbelievable way. Listen to me, and I think I can help you. A group of alumni from a prestigious business school met for a kind of a little reunion. All of them were very successful. Many were leading in high positions in businesses. Some were CEOs. The host of this alumni meeting at this prestigious school was one of their popular professors while they went to school years before. Their host was just an old professor. They all gathered and they were talking and they were began to talk about the stress of work and the stress of life and their careers and how much the production and the high-level business is stressing their lives. And the old professor stood back and listened a while. And then he spoke up and said, "How many of you would like some coffee?" They all said, "Sure." He said, "I'll be back." And they began to keep talking about the stress of success. And he went and made a cup or a pot of coffee and brought back with him a huge platter full of coffee cups with a bunch of assortment. There were porcelain cups, glass cups, crystal ones, plain ones, fancy ones, paper cups, expensive cups, every type of cup you could imagine. He just set them down. And he watched. Everybody stood there and they were still talking about stress and careers and millions of dollars being won and lost and made and lost and getting their coffee. And once they all got their coffee, the professor spoke up and said, "May I speak for a moment?" Everyone quieted. He said, "If you've noticed, all of you took the nice looking and expensive cups and left the plain ones and cheap ones sitting. You all have coffee in your hand, but you left the plain cups, the cheap ones." He said, "It's normal for you to want the nicest things for yourself, but that is the source of all your stress in your life." He said, "The quality of the cup itself adds no quality to the coffee. You really only wanted some coffee. In most cases, the more expensive the cup, the more it hides what you wanted to have in the first place. It just makes..." And by the way, the expense of the cup didn't change the taste of the coffee. "So what all you really wanted was the coffee, not the cup, but you consciously went for the nicest cups first. Then you began looking at each other's cups, comparing your cup to their cup." The old professor stepped up and said, "Life is the coffee. Your jobs, your money, your positions in society are the cups. The cups are just the tools to hold and contain life. The type of cup we have does not define nor change the quality of life that you live. Sometimes by concentrating only on the cup, you fail to enjoy the life of the coffee inside. Savor the coffee, not the cup. The happiest people, listen to this, do not have the best of everything. They make the best of what they do have out of everything." I read that story and it was so true. I read that story and I opened my Bible to Matthew 23 because I knew it went with this passage of Scripture. Jesus said, "You scribes and Pharisees, you look good on the outside, but inside you're dirty." Let me ask you a question. I did not bring my coffee cup because I didn't want to gross anybody out. I don't believe in washing a coffee cup. Amen, Brother Mike? My coffee cup is brown, nasty. It's got years worth of coffee in it, and it doesn't bother me a bit. It's just getting broke in real good. Now, wait a minute. The story goes so well with this passage of Scripture. He talks to these religious people that appear spiritual, but they're not real spiritual. Somebody walked into this building tonight with a black shirt on and the collar backwards and the white was showing instead of the black. wore a robe over top of it and put a $500,000 grapefruit on his head, people would say he's spiritual. But I contend he's preaching the wrong doctrine. He's sending people to hell, and he's probably going to hell too because of the doctrine that he believes.
Yes, sir.
Just because you dress them up doesn't mean they're spiritual. Just because you sit in the church doesn't make you spiritual.
Right.
Sitting in your garage doesn't make you a car.
That's right.
You can go vroom, vroom, and then you're still not a car. Or in Scott's case, a motorcycle. Because he had half his wheels fall off. You know, we are much like the alumni in that story. We stress our own lives over the appearances, and we forget what's inside is the most important. It's not how fancy the cup, thank God. It's what's inside the cup that's the important thing. Now, let me give you just a few principles, and let me help you. Number one, let's not compare cups in life. Brother coffee cup, stand up here. Brother coffee mug, stand up here.
Why am I the fat one?
You said that, I didn't. I'm not going to ask you to do I'm a little teapot either, all right? Though it would be entertaining. Now, wait a minute. Do you know we're not supposed to compare him with him? How long you been saved?
37 years.
Good night. That's a long time. Brother Joe's relatively new Christian. Why should we try to compare each other? Why is it that we say that he's got to be exactly like him? You've got a long way to go. You can eat like a pig for a while. or you're going to starve to death for a while. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? We're not supposed to compare the cups. You brought visitors to church this week. Wait a minute. He brought visitors to church last week. We're not supposed to compare the cup. It's the life inside. Thank you, man. You can have a seat there. You know, the outside of the cup or the fanciness of the cup isn't important. That's why my favorite statement about Grace Baptist Church, we're a hospital, not a museum. We're not comparing the outside. We're trying to pump something on the inside. Can I tell you something? If the inside's clean, the outside's going to get clean naturally. I don't care if the outside of that cup's dirty. As long as I know the inside's clean, that's all that matters to me. And half the time, I don't care if the inside's clean. Wait a minute. What we see is not as important as what we are. Let me say that again. What we see is not as important as what we are. Let me ask you a question. You look good at church on Sunday. How you acting at home on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? How you acting at work when your wife or your husband's not there? When your kids aren't watching? How we acting at school when mom and dad aren't there? It's not how fancy the cup is on the outside. What's the coffee like on the inside? You see, what we are on the inside will eventually be seen on the outside.
Yes, sir.
Eventually, you'll see on the outside what was on the inside. Matter of fact, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Eventually, what's inside does come out.
Yes, sir.
It really does. We spend way too much time with the outside of the cup and not the inside. Now, I will say this. God spends some time about us cleaning up the outside so that we look right so we can help more people.
Yes.
If I came in here in a pair of shoddy blue jeans and a t-shirt that didn't look like it had been washed since Vietnam with, what do you call it? Flip-flops, that's the word, which I will not wear. We played all kinds of rock music. We're not going to have much of church, are we? Wait a minute. You expect a little different out of me. God says the outside's important, but it's not as important as what's on the inside. You change someone from the inside out, not the outside in.
Right.
I believe in separation. I don't believe we ought to be like the world. I don't think we ought to talk like the world, think like the world, walk like the world, smell like the world, eat like the world, drink like the world. Think we ought to be separate. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. But can I tell you something? I thank God for every new convert we're getting in our church. Watch them start coming and watch God start cleaning them up.
Amen.
But you change from the inside. First thing you got to do is get saved. No lie. I've been out soul winning with people. You know, you've been with them too. I've been out soul winning with people, and I'll win some unto the Lord. Talk to them at the door. Next door, I'll let them go. And invariably, somebody will come to the door dressed inappropriately. I was with a guy one day. He said, "Lady, the way you're dressed, you're going to send everybody to hell. You go in there and change clothes before I talk to you." And he wondered why the door got slammed in his face. We walked away, and I said, "You know what?" He said, "What?" He said, "What did I do wrong?" I said, "You're an idiot." He didn't like that. I didn't care. Now, I've been in situations where it really wasn't the most pleasant opportunity standing at the door because somebody wasn't dressed appropriately. You knock on the millions of doors that I've knocked on in my life. I've seen more things than I should ever see. Trust me. It happens. But I don't stand there and make a big deal of it. I don't go in the house. You see, we spend way too much time with the outside of the cup and not the inside. Now, wait a minute. If you've already started working on cleaning the inside of the cup, and it's already cared for, and the coffee's good, and then let's start working on the outside. But you don't start from the outside in, you start from the inside out. Yes. Display models don't have to work. Matter of fact, most of them aren't even real. They can look good and be worthless. We got too many Christians that are display models. Everybody doing all right? My wife and I were doing some furniture looking. We weren't really ready to buy, but we were looking at some dining room furniture. Well, we walked by and I thought, man, somebody spilled a glass of stuff all over a table. I didn't say anything. I got a little farther down and there was a different kind of cup of stuff spilled on another table. I got to looking at that thing. I went to another one. There's another one. I said, "Honey, what's going on?" She said, "It's not real." Well, when you're colorblind, it all looked the same to me. I walked over there and picked the thing up, and it's just a puddle attached to a plastic cup laying on the edge of the table. Like, you idiots. Had me going for a while there. That's a lot like Christians today. You're just a display model. Did you ever go to a restaurant and they got all the food up there and it's all plastic, but what it's supposed to look like? You know, it never comes out looking just like that. Yeah. Can I tell you something? Number one, let's not compare cups in life. Let's quit comparing each other with each other. Let's quit comparing the church you grew up in compared to what the church is now. Because I promise you, give me 7 months when we get in the new building and the church is going to be a little different. And we're going to grow and have a lot more people. Number two, enjoy life and focus on life, not the cup. Listen to that statement. Learn to enjoy life and not focus on the cup or the container. Some people are so concerned with the cup that they don't put any coffee in it. You know, an empty coffee cup isn't worth much. The worst time of my day is when the last sip of coffee goes down. Thinking, man, going to be a long haul till the next one. Because I don't drink coffee past certain, about 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm done drinking coffee, otherwise I will not sleep. I drink one cup of coffee a day, that's it. Except every once in a while somebody will bring me an extra one. Glory to God. Miss Lopez did yesterday. Thank God. And there's days I'm saying, "Lord, I'm not going to go get a cup of coffee, but I really want one." You'd be surprised how many times God gives me one. Now, I don't do it at this time of night because my wife would shoot me. All right? But some of us are so concerned with the cup that we never put any coffee in it. be careful, parents, that you don't work so hard with your kids that you don't put any life in them. Teach them to live. Teach them how to live. I'd rather good coffee in a paper cup than an expensive cup with no coffee. You give me an old foam cup from Dunkin' Donuts with coffee in it, that's fine. You can give me the $3,000 cup to put it in, but if there's no coffee in it, why'd you give me the stupid cup? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Spend your time and your money on the coffee, not the cup. It's that serious. Can I tell you something? Spend your money on your life, not the outside. Spend time and energy on the people that live within the four walls of your house, not how grand your house looks. Now, I'm for keeping up with it. I think it ought to look nice and neat. But can I tell you something? I'd rather have time with my wife and my family than to have the newest gadget on my house. Now, I'm not against the newest gadgets on the house. I've seen all the things, you know, you got the new... Somebody rings your door, you get doorbells that you can see people, and you can lights, and you code to your phone, and you can talk to the people through your phone and scare people off. How many times are you in a situation you're really going to have that happen? You'll pay hundreds of dollars for something you'll never use one time in your life. But you got it! Why don't you put that money into your family? Now, if you have that, I'm not against you. You can have it. To me, I'd rather put it into my family. You see, we have people who spend so much on the cup that they don't have enough money to fill it up with coffee. We have people that have so many things that they don't have enough time to enjoy it with the people they're supposed to be loving. Take time to stop and smell the coffee, amen? You spend so much on the cup that you don't want to use the cup because it costs you so much. Everybody's got those things that you never use. You know, the dishes that are displayed that never, ever get used. It really doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but they're there. Now, wait a minute. I'm not against those things, but why is it that you got to have the most expensive cup and then you don't have anything to put in it? Let's learn to enjoy life and not worry about what cup we use. Brother Mike, I know you and some of you other men. You're out on the construction site. As long as you don't have to put coffee in your hand, you don't care what cup it's in. Somebody else drank out of it. Who cares? All right, fill it up. Yeah, buddy. Put a little oil around the edge. Nobody else is going to touch that thing, and down the hatch it goes, amen? As long as you ain't got to put that hot stuff in your hand, go for it. You say, oh, preacher, that's gross. It may be, but it's coffee down the hatch. Everybody doing all right? Teach your children to live, not have a fancy cup. Did you know that children are going to be children? Whether they grow up in church or not, boys are going to be boys. They're going to get in trouble. They're going to play in the bathroom. They're going to... You testifying, Joe? Because you did it or because you're two boys? Both. You know... Enjoy being married at home more than trying to have a fancy cup. I'll be honest with you. I'd rather have a date with my wife than any fancy place. Now, we've been to the fancy places. Can I tell you something? Usually we stop at Burger King on the way home. I'm not kidding. We went to a banquet one time. We had to go to a... Let me rephrase that. We had to go to a banquet one time, and it was like $135 a person to go. I am not kidding. When it came out, it was some kind of meat. I'm not sure what it was. It looked like chicken, kind of. But they had butchered it in such a way you couldn't tell what it was. There was about four green beans, air couvert. About as big around as your little finger and about twice as long. There's four of those beans on there. And there was some kind of potato pate or something or other. And that was it. And then we got dessert. Thank God for coffee. Because that's the only thing that filled my stomach up till we got out of there. And I'm thinking, no wonder rich people eat all the time. They got to go to so many different places just to get enough to fill up. There was a salad, I guess, that went with it. But, I mean, that was it. And I thought, if this is the way fancy people eat, who cares? Just because you put a fancy name on it doesn't make it taste any better. A tater's still a tater. I don't care what name you call it. Period. You know, chicken, it's just chicken. Whether you want the wing or the breast or the leg or the thigh or whatever, back, gizzards and livers, amen. I was eating chicken livers last night at Golden Corral. Glory to God. Gotta love that stuff. Hearts and livers. That's the best part of the chicken. Throw the rest of it away for all I care. Now, wait a minute. We spend so much money on appearance that we forget. Let me show you what I mean. In World War II, our young people came back from war, started having families, and they said, don't want my children to face what I faced during the Depression and the war, and I'm going to give them anything they want. They were the hippies of the 60s. The rebellious children of the 60s were the children of the people who fought in World War II. The ones that gave up everything they had to fight Hitler and Hirohito and Stalin and Mussolini, they came back, had children, and let those people come back and teach their children. And their children were the ones that said, blank, no, we won't go, and rebelled against and gave us Bill Clinton and Hillary. Go check it out. I'm right. Say why? Because we gave our kids everything we could not have when we were their age. Can I tell you something? The stupidest thing in the world for you to do is to give your kid a brand new car or to give them a car at all. Make them work for it. My daddy told me, my brother is about 4 years older than me. He said, you guys can have a car anytime you want once you're able to drive. But you're going to buy it, pay for the gas, and pay for your insurance. I'm not buying it for you. Man, my brother, he turned 16, I was 12. He got his first car. Got a 1950 Ford Crestliner with a flathead V8 in that thing, brother. It's a tank. That was one of the heaviest cars. You could put seven people in the trunk. I'm not kidding. You say, how do you know? I know. Plus a toolbox. Can I tell you something? We worked on that thing, worked on that thing, worked on that thing, worked on that thing. Then he sold it and got himself a 68 Trino with a 351 Cleveland in it. Holley 4 pumper on that thing, dual thrush. Man, that thing would fly. I couldn't wait till I turned 16. I thought, I'm going to get me a car. I was mowing grass, shoveling snow. I did every kind of odd job, cleaning out, spouting. I cut tree, cut brush, pulled poison ivy, you name it, I did it. I bought my first car. It was a 1966 Mercury Comet with a 289 in it. That car was a piece of junk, but praise God, it was mine. Now, it would run fast, but the unibody had rusted out on it. Dang near killed myself. I don't know how many times in that car. Now, wait a minute. It was mine. I bought that car 2 weeks before I turned 16, and I wasn't even allowed to drive it. For 2 weeks, is all I could do is drive it up and down the driveway. I am not lying. My dad wouldn't even let me park it on the street. Torture. But when I got my driver's license, I could drive my car. Say, what was it? I had already paid for my gas, my insurance, and paid for the car. My dad didn't buy us brand new cars. Never has, never will. Unless it's his last one, I get it in my inheritance. That'd be the only way. You say, why? Because I'm supposed to earn it. I'm not supposed to be giving everything to him. Make him earn it. Everybody doing all right? They, the hippies of the 60s not only had empty cups, but they broke and destroyed the cups that they were given. They rebelled that there was nothing in it. So they just tossed their cups away. I got to hurry. Number 3. I'm done. Happy people don't have to have the best of everything. They make the best of all they have. You know, there's only two ways to be content: to get everything you want, or to want everything you have. That's it. You're either going to get everything you want and be happy, or you're going to say, what I have is good enough, and I'll make it do, and I'll be happy with what I have. Those are the only two ways to be content. Most people don't make enough money to live in the first category. You got to go after this, and go after that, go after this, and go after that, go after this, go after that. Why? Having the most expensive doesn't mean that you have the best. I'm going to make a statement here some may not agree with. Some people spend all they have on the cup, and the cup sits empty because they can't afford to do anything with the most expensive cup they have. I'd rather have the Old Faithful with scratches instead of the newest and not be able to use it because I can't afford it. There used to be a day where things that were expensive were made to last and you could fix it. Everything today is not made to fix. The day of buying something and fixing it and fixing it and fixing it doesn't work anymore. My dad still has a skill saw. If you've ever seen my dad's skill saw, Brother Mike, you've seen it. You know what I'm talking about. He has to special order the blades because they don't make them anymore. That skill saw is older than I am, and I'm 50. I have never seen my dad use another skill saw. I've seen him pull the bearings out of it and redo the bearings in it a couple times. But you can't go out and buy a brand new Black & Decker and do that anymore with. I don't care how much money you spend on it, you can't fix it. It's not made to fix. It's made to throw away and buy a new one. So just because you buy the most expensive does not mean you buy the best. Now, listen to this very carefully. I buy the best I can afford. I got a 2004 Ford pickup truck with 204,000 miles on it. Say why? Because it's the best I could afford at the time. I've had that truck for almost 5 years. I put a lot of miles on that truck. I've hauled a lot of deer in that truck. I've hauled a lot of wood in that truck. I've hauled a lot of brush in that truck. And I've hauled a lot of other things. I've helped move people in that truck. I've helped do all kinds of things in that truck. Is it the best truck in the world? It is to me, because it's mine. It's not the fanciest truck in the world. I'll give you that. I don't have the fanciest of guns. I really don't. I've got a got an old Remington model 700 Remington 30-06, 5-shot bolt action. I got a 243 Weatherby that's about 14 years old. Two of the straightest, smoothest shooting guns you can ever have. I don't want a new one. I like the old one. I've got a couple pistols that, two of the pistols people bought for me, and it's the only two pistols I have. I have one for home defense. I have one called the Judge. It shoots a 410 shotgun shell. That's for my wife to use if somebody breaks in. And trust me, you don't want to be in my house unasked, all right? She knows how to point it and click it. And it's got enough oomph, they're going to scrape you off the floor and the walls, I promise you. And I've got a little 380 that I carry around a lot of times. A little Smith & Wesson 380. Can I tell you something? That's all I need. Now, I've got other guns. I've got shotguns. I've got 22s. I've got a CVS 50 caliber muzzle loader that was given to me. Most of my guns have been given to me. I think I've only ever bought one gun or two out of the bunch of guns that I have. I've got an AR that somebody hand-built for me, AR-223. I've got one. It was built and given to me. I never paid for it. I bet you I haven't fired a half a box of rounds through that thing. Say what? I've killed one deer with it. Say I killed a deer with it. To me, I don't care how many bullets it shoots per second or how fast it shoots. Because all that means I got to go out and buy more bullets. I'm keeping it for one of my boys. One of my boys really wants it, and it's his. It's fine. I'm not against having it. But I don't have to go out and buy a new gun. Man, I shot some old bows for an awful long time. I bought a new PSE here about five years ago. And nicest new bow I had. I don't have a Matthews and spend $3,000 on a bow. Now, would I someday like to have a Matthews? Who wouldn't? But you give me another 10, 12 years and I'm probably not going to be able to pull it anymore. So who cares? I'll just keep using my old PSE. Put a new string on it every once in a while and keep dropping deer every year. I've killed a bunch of them with it. It works. Why do I got to go spend a whole bunch more money on one? Till that one doesn't work, we're going to keep working it. How about your toys, your phones? Man, and I'm not against it. And I know some people use their phone as business. And that's a whole different world. But it seems like when Apple comes out with the newest thing, everybody's got to go run get it. Why? The old one still works. The newest clothes and the newest styles or the newest tools or the newest kitchen gadgets. I mean, man, you can go broke buying kitchen stuff. But fellas, you ought to spend some money on it because it's going to feed your big belly, amen? You know, most things are not made to fix. They're made to replace. Learn to save money on what you spend so you can keep the cup full. Why spend so much money on all the things and then you don't have the wherewithal to enjoy the things? You go out and buy all these things and go so much in debt that you got to work extra hours to pay for it and you won't be able to enjoy it. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. My wife and I, we're buying a new house. We're selling ours and buying a new house. And I promised my wife I'm going to buy her all brand new furniture. I have bought that woman four pieces of brand new furniture in 28 and a half years. Everything else we've either gotten used or has been given to us, including beds. I think maybe we bought one mattress in 28 years. Everything else has been used. I'm not kidding. I mean, we have scrimped and saved and got through this life rearing three kids on a shoestring. But I promised her we're going to do it. We were looking at dining room furniture. We were just looking. We found a deal. Looked down there and said, now what? It was literally one-third the price. I was going to save like $3,000 on a dining room set. I said, now what? I said, I didn't come to buy. I came to look. She said, I don't know. She said, I could go either way with it. She said, it was what I want. I said, well, if it's what you want, we're not going to get that kind of deal ever again. Trust me. I mean, solid hardwood cherry. If I told you what I paid for it, you'd say, no way. I saved enough on, because we priced it somewhere else, and it was literally three times as much. In the money we're saving in that alone, we can buy all of our living room furniture and bedroom furniture. I said, I think it's the wisest thing for us to do. I wasn't planning on it, but I think wisdom says, use some sense here. So we did. I took a picture of it and sent it to my mom. I said, I feel almost guilty. She said, why? You all deserve it. You've put your wife through an awful lot these years. She deserves it. We got to use it a couple times this week. Got delivered on Friday. Never sat down on padded chairs in my own house before at a table. You say, why? Because I had kids. We ain't going to put padded chairs with kids. Because I knew what I did with pads on chairs as a kid. Now, wait a minute. I sat down that thing today and told her, I said, man, I'm not used to feeling comfortable when you sit at the table. Yeah, usually you sit down on that old wooden chair. It's like, makes you eat faster so you get out of there. I feel almost a little guilty, but I don't. Because I look at how much we saved. Could I go out and spend more money on it? Who couldn't? But I'm not going to be any happier. She liked it. That's all that mattered. I'm done. We're often as guilty as the scribes and Pharisees. Try to make the outside look good, but we're dirty on the inside. Try to look spiritual by the outside, but inside, man, we're just full of death, defilement, anger, rage, meanness. You can put the smile on when you get in the parking lot of the church. Well, what's the conversation like in the car or the truck on the way home? We're concerned about the cup and what it looks like instead of what goes in it. The Word of God is there to change the inside of the cup. Once you change the inside of the cup, the outside will come. It really will. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done.